welcome to the Ain't Up for the Streets podcast. You already know what it is. It's your boy, Ain't Up for the Streets. You already know what it is. It's your boy, Ain't Up for the Streets. You feel me? Today we got a special episode, and you know what I mean? A special episode for the show. You feel me? It's Dancehall in the Six. You feel me? We're gonna talk about dancehall, reggae. Y'all niggas been talking. You know what I mean? Dancehall, you need to be the shit in Toronto. You feel me? This is what it's about in this episode. We got Dollars, the DJ in the house. We got his manager in the house as well. We're gonna talk about a lot of stuff about dancehall, how dancehall need to take over the city, need to take over the whole Canada, because dancehall influenced the whole Canada. If Canada, like Toronto's influenced about Jamaica, like the slangs, everything is influenced about Jamaica. Let's be real. So shout out to Dollars and his peoples in the show right now. Dollars, what's popping, man? How you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm here, man. Well, I'll go on, brother.
You know what's going on? Lito vibes, what's popping, man? How you doing, man?
Bless up, brother. There. Yeah.
You good?
Blessed to be here, man. Blessed to be here. Thanks for having me on this. Yeah, no, is it?
Facts. I needed you to get on here, man. I've been working with you. I've been rocking with you for a while now.
So yeah, man. It's been 2 years or so?
Yo, 2 years. It's
about
been
2 years.
Minute, man.
Yeah, man. About 2 years, man. But, yeah, man. Been a minute, yo.
It's been a minute. So it's like it's been time for us to connect. You decided to tap in with Lito Vibes and to get him involved as well. So I really appreciate that. That's one thing I really appreciated about you, because you're not a selfish type of guy. Because like when I spoke to you, be like, yo, you know, I got to get Lito Vibes in here. I need to shed light on Lito Vibes. I need to shed light on him as well. I need to let people know about him. It's not even about me. I need to let him. Let people know about him, then people are going to know about me after. That's why I rock with you. I respect that about you. You know what I mean?
Yo, because, yo.
Networking, real way, man.
For me, yo, like, as I said, yo, there's enough people in the city doing this. You know what I mean? And for me right now, like, the support that we're getting, the support that's looking in the city. But really and truly, when you really look at it right now, at this man, yeah. Lethal Vibes. So, yeah, I talk about this man, yeah. Yo, just come from
in the work, you know.
Work is getting put in from down to the production, to the support, to the management piece, to the working with artists. Yo, like literally, like working with Mandem and Show and say, yo, you know, before you release
a track, we always had a dancehall community, you know, but it's been scattered all over the place, you know. There's been talented artists all over Canada.
Yeah, man.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. There's a point where, like, dancehall was going to get that break in Canada, like, when it comes to, like, early 2000, when majority of the artists is, like, Elephant Man, Sean Paul, they're all coming here, shooting their videos, using all our dancers, you know what I'm saying? So it was highlighting reggae on a whole different level, you know what I'm saying, when it came down to the whole Canadian culture and the reggae scene in Canada, you know? But... Yep. When Drake bust now, that kind of like took away from that community, though. You know what I'm saying? Because he became the man. You know what I'm saying? And everybody now had somebody representing to the city on a bigger scale. Exactly. So that was more the focus. You know what I'm saying? That we actually had somebody in the music community, whether it's reggae or hip hop. We just had somebody. So people are more appreciate that. You know, we had somebody out of Canada that reached up there, you know, and setting something for us. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So. People are more grateful for that, you know. So they weren't focused on the dancehall community, even though it was there. People are more looking in. Now dancehall is getting more popular on a level where, you know, it's more international and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? Like more in a popular mainstream music. Like before it was more in the background. You know what I'm saying? Now it's among like the popular genres and stuff like that, where you could be like, all right, reggae is amongst the rest of the genres, where you could be like, all right, if I look on a chart, it's definitely gonna be
reggae. Dancehall artist. Yeah, man.
You know if you remember back in the day, fam, if you scroll through certain lists, there would be no reggae category, man.
None.
You know what I'm saying?
None.
Well, there wouldn't be no reggae category. No, you're starting to see reggae category pop up in like different lists and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying?
It's true. It's true, man. Yo, before we go into everything, into my questions and things like that, I want the people that's gonna watch this, that's gonna be listening to the podcast all over the world, because the podcast is gonna be on Spotify, iTunes, Amazon, everywhere. Everywhere people listen to podcasts, this podcast is gonna be on there. It's also gonna be on YouTube. I'm gonna post this video on YouTube as well. So I want everybody to know about you guys. So Dollars the DJ and Lito Vibes. I'm gonna start with Dollars the DJ. Let the people know where you're from, what hometown, where you repping. Give them a little bit of background information about you so they all actually right, know who you are. All right.
So me, yo, call me Dollars the DJ. I'm a born Jamaican, you don't know. Chapelton, Maplin, things. Big up yourself, Claire and Dan. But don't know, I came here at a young age, you know, around seven or so, came to Toronto, you don't know, from the West End. And for me, like, I've been doing music. Well, music's been in my family, been in my whole, I would say, my whole upbringing, my whole creation, my whole conception, music, you see it. So when I came to Canada now, you know, I first started out singing and stuff like that, you know. And yo, one thing too as well, what I was talking about 2000 times, I was around those times. I was doing my thing at those times. Those times I was in like a dance crew and thing. You see, man used to be a dancer, No Sweat crew, Big Up Yourself and thing. So at those times, he's right, you know, like we used to have a lot of dancer artists come to Canada and things. So those times, you know, we had Sean Paul coming to Canada, doing his videos in Canada and things like that. And you know, me and my crew, we were in the Get Busy video, you see it. So peer state shows and things like that. So me, people want to know where I'm from.
Look like Dallas just got interrupted.
Dallas just froze up. Dallas froze up, but it's cool. Lito Vibes, you could check in right now. Lito Vibes, let us know a little bit about you till Dollars check back in.
Yeah, definitely. You know, young, humble youth, man, came from St. Andrew, Jamaica. Small little community people probably don't even know. You know what I'm saying? Called King Weston. Same community, Egyptian. The Egyptian literally grew up together. You know what I'm saying? Like, same community, everything. Like, majority of the family, though, was, like, from Kingston and those areas. But, like, my father's side was in St. Andrew. So, that's where majority of us was. Mm-hmm. But I came to Canada in 1999.
Oh, wow. A long time ago, bro.
Yeah, a while ago. But here's the crazy thing. I wasn't really interested in music like that.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? So, it was, like, same time in early 2000 when everything was, like, going. You have, like, songs like Vitamin S and that, you know, that rhythm, like Fiesta rhythm, and go on, and you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
With Beanie Man, them times when those rhythms are going on.
Yeah.
And I remember it was like, my brother was the one that was interested in music. Yeah. I like to draw, you know what I'm saying? I was always interested in drawing. That was my thing.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And then one day, I don't know, it was like, I can't even explain it, man. But my brother was like mixing, you know, and I'm just there drawing, and then I'm listening, and I remember clearly it was mixing the same Vitamin S and the Dude song, and I'm sitting there, I'm listening, I'm like, you know, I can't do this,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And I just got up off my bed and I just went in the room. I was like, bro, I can do this, huh? And he started laughing. He thought it was a joke, you know what I'm saying? Because I just came out of nowhere, so he thought it was a joke. I was like, nah, I'm serious. You know, so then I just got on it and just started like mixing. And then he's looking at me like, hey, you're crazy at this. You know, and that's the first time I ever touched him, man.
That's,
you know,
crazy. And
that led me to get more involved in music over the years. And like a lot of my family was already involved in music already. You know, my uncle is Buju. You know what I'm saying? Like, crazy. I got a lot of cousins that's already involved in music, like Marcus, his producer. Payday Music is my cousin. He's a Grammy Award-winning producer. Wow. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
Like, the whole family is involved in music. A lot of cousins that's producer, you know, all over the place. You know, but I was really interested in it like that until that moment. You know what I'm saying? And that from that moment, it was just constantly. I like literally just fell in love with music.
Yeah.
You know, I never stopped, kept on, you know, me and my brother started our own song crew.
Yeah.
And it was like, we called, it was Chaos Song Crew back in the day. It was just me and my brother.
In Toronto.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
All in Toronto. And yeah. Over the years, we're just playing at like little parties, school dances and stuff like that, you know, like just getting our hands in the game.
And then
after high school, my brother like went in a different direction, man.
Yeah.
You know, I went in a different direction too, because I ended up joining the army and spent like 10 years in the army. Boy, here's a crazy thing.
In Canada?
Yeah.
Wow, yeah. That's crazy. This guy was in the army. You're the first black guy I heard that say
that. What? Boy, here's a crazy thing, though, man.
I heard that we went to the army, bro. I never heard no black guy went to the army. So give it up to you.
Yeah.
Give it up to
like
you.
Right after high school. Right after high school, I joined the army, man. That's like crazy. Right after high school. But I had this passion for music. I couldn't stop. You know, so I would be that soldier in the barracks with all the music equipment all the time, you know. So even I'll be even going to the clubs at the base to like to DJ and everything. That's how much I love music. So I'll spend like weeks in the field, and I get back out in the field and get back on the base. I'm straight in the club, start playing music.
And
people are looking at me like, this guy is crazy. Like, you know, like, who does that? You know, because everybody's coming back and they're like, oh man, I'm tired. Like, you nowhere see me for the next couple of days. And I'm like, what? Hell no, I gotta go play some music. It's been like 2 weeks, you know?
Yeah.
I'm there, man, 2 o'clock in the morning. And I gotta get up like 5-6 o'clock in the morning to go again.
You know what I'm saying?
So, like, and I traveled all over Canada and I took the music everywhere I went with me. That was just me. You know, I couldn't stop. I always had my little setup in my room somewhere. You know, anytime I got like inspection, I'll just hide it in like the closet or something. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I always kept the music going, man.
That's dope. At least you, like, I feel like your whole family, you've been influenced with music. So you had no choice but to be with music. Your uncle, your brother was in music. So it's kind of like your whole family kind of like influenced you to be in music. You know what I mean? So. Like,
yeah, it was a pretty big influence.
It was destined for you to be in music. So Dollars, I'm welcome back.
Yo, man, my bad.
No, it's all good. But yeah, just to check back in. So, like, what I wanted to ask you, like, what really got you into the whole dancehall vibe? Like, you know what I mean? Since you're in Canada, I feel like the Canada is kind of like really multicultural. It got the hip hop, it got the soca, it got, you know what I mean? Canada is really influenced. You know what got you into dancehall?
Well, my family, basically, right? So for me, you know, as I said before, like, you know, I came from music. You know, when my conception was happening, music, right? So my pops, my uncle, well, all my uncles, my aunties, they all used to actually sing to as well in their church and things like that, right? Music, DJ, you know, be sound men and things like that. So when I came to Canada, my dad, well, my uncles and my cousins are actually Rootsman Sound. So, you know, they, if you know Rootsman Sound, you know, say, yo, them man there in Canada, yo, big sound. So as a youth, you know, going downstairs in the basement and things like that and seeing these big speakers, and man's are like tiny, playing hide and go seek in big speakers, you can find us and things like that. You know, just, I just been around it the whole time, right? Yeah. And then, you know, going, like, of course, being from yard and then going back to yard too as well, and then seeing my first cousins around my age too as well, picking up the mic, DJing, doing their thing, you know what I mean? So I just, for me, it just flowed that way. I was always into music. And when I was over here, for me, when I first started doing the music for myself, writing and singing and things like that, I first started singing, right? I was in at a church and singing in the choir and things like that, right? And of course, you know, at the same time in the church singing in the choir, but at the same time doing my dance. I was a dancer, so doing my my rehearsals and things like that, going to the jams, going to the flats, the basement parties and things like that. But at the same time, at the church singing every Sunday, every Mother's Day. Singing, Brother Steph, come on stage and sing. that was the thing, right? So
you know what I mean?
And then from there, yo, like, and in school, you know, I was able to, I was able to, you know, utilize the instruments and things like that. So I play alto sax and piano.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, man. And I could also play, well, I haven't played acoustic guitar in a long time, but, you know, once you learn, you don't really forget those things, basically, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, man. So, you know, I did that. And then I really got into hip hop, of course, Canada, you know, so I'm here. Hip hop is booming. Everybody's listening to hip hop.
Hip hop is booming right now in the city. So you're definitely right about that. Hip hop is booming in the city. Dancehall was like me as a promoter, guy that used to do parties. If they're not playing dancehall in a party, that party was not popping.
It was not one. Trust me, back in the day, it was not one. Like
hip hop was never thinking parties. Like dancehall,
yeah, nah, man.
Reggae was always a flavor, man. Reggae always brought the flavor to any party. It. You know what I'm saying? Like, no matter where it was. You know, it could be an all-white party. It would be reggae would bring a flavor into it. And everybody would just go crazy.
Yeah, the thing about reggae, make people dance. Reggae make people want to have fun. That's all.
Exactly.
Even if you're not from Jamaica, you're going to do the dance.
You're going to do that.
Exactly.
You're going to do the dance. You're going to show your shoulders.
You got to play your shoulders.
Dancehall gets the place hype. Dancehall. Like, really and truly, and for me, growing up in Toronto too as well, going to the parties, you know, like where King Turbo, Fully Loaded, and them man a mash up the place in Scarborough them times. Military Sound, those guys are mashing up the place in Scarborough those times, right? Like, going to those parties.
White boy, right?
Like, Shangri-La and them, Shangri-La and them place there. Yo, listen, brother. When the man there going out and dance and turn on the music and start playing, if they played hip hop,
everybody, if I was in a thing in Canada,
and to be honest, I'm sorry, my Trinity Regions them and this and that, but if they played too much soca at one point too long. People stand up like this.
It's facts. You're not lying. It's all facts.
You know, I play no dancehall.
It's all facts. Right?
It's true, man.
It's all facts. It's
true.
Right? So, you know, that's what it was. Like, dancehall it is, you know? I mean, like dancehall is the thing. People don't really go to clubs to listen to hip-hop and things like that. They go to the clubs to have a vibe. And right now,
have fun.
Dancehall and soca fed.
And soca. And right now, Afrobeats is coming.
Afrobeats is going hard right now.
It's going hard right now. So what I wanted to ask you guys, right? Because for me, I have a relationship with Dollars DJ. Like, what I wanted to ask you guys, how did you guys start your relationship, you and Lito Vibes? How did you guys connect in Toronto and Canada and started building this whole team that you guys got going on?
Lito, you want to take that one over?
You can tell that story, Dallas. Let me grab some water.
Let him grab some water.
Yo, all right. So, So basically, I worked with Lito about a year and a half, almost 2 years now, basically.
Yeah.
But at the time, we weren't really working together, right? There was a rhythm that him and our next producer was dealing with. So I was on that rhythm, basically, right? We used to go to the studio, Celebrity Studio there, and Lito was there more times, right? And last year, the man said, yo, boom, he's going to put out his rhythm, Damage Rhythm.
Yeah.
And from the man put out that, from when I heard that rhythm, I linked him right away. Said, yo, brother, wow, go on. You know? I need to be on that rhythm. And boom.
I
left out some of the story, right? I left out some of the story still. Let the manager talk. Go on to talk.
My touch tour, the Mojo tour, Long Walk to Freedom tour.
Yeah.
When did a couple shows with him, you know what I'm saying? Spend some time with him and learn a few things. So I came back and decided that I'm going to do something for the city.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Linked with a couple of producers. Start like recording a couple of songs, then I realized the work ethics weren't there. You know what I'm saying? And then in the, at the same time with these producers, they were dragging the artists down with them. You know what I'm saying? So the moral of the artists was just going down. The more these producers were being lazy in what they were doing, the more the artists that want to get out there and actually do something with their career, the more their energy was being dragged down.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So I checked in a few studios and see it was the same energy, same thing that just keeps repeating itself. They go there, they spend their money, they record, the songs go nowhere.
Go nowhere, so
I'm saying, okay, clearly they don't know what they're doing. So I try working with a couple of producers to try to teach them and say, okay, we can actually maneuver the game like this. He was actually working with one of the producers prior before working with me. So that was the producer. That's how I end up meeting him through that producer. So he was sitting on his songs, still sitting on his songs. You know what I'm saying? So artists don't like that. You know what I'm saying? That's one thing I learned about the game, because I deal with a lot of artists, big and small. You know what I'm saying? And one thing is when they do their work, it's just like you going to work, right? If you go to work right now and you work your 8 hours, you're expecting to get paid, right? You don't, you're not expecting when you call your boss, their boss is telling you, all right, I don't know when, you know, maybe next week, maybe next month. You know what I'm saying?
Right?
Yeah, you're expecting, you're expecting a date, right?
That's
it's your work. So if the artist goes in a studio, record his song, it's his work that he's putting in.
You got to get paid somehow.
So there's supposed to be a time on that work, right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So now when you have an artist in limbo now, after he paid his money and he's sitting there waiting, you know what I'm saying? Then he's going to lose our confidence. He's going to lose confidence in the producer. He's going to lose confidence in himself. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's the problem that I was seeing a lot with a lot of the artists. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and
it's
not the fact that it was such, it was deliberate. It's the fact that they just didn't know what they were doing. They didn't know what they're doing. A lot of them just want to pretend. You know what I'm saying? A lot of them are not producers. They just pretend to be producers.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They don't understand how the music game work or even run.
Yeah.
But they want to be a part of it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, facts.
But they need to learn that aspect of the game where they got to, they know how certain things work when it comes to, like, you know, distributing your music, getting your music market and all those type of stuff. It's not just going to the studio. Y'all have 1 million guys in the studio recording 1 million songs.
Nah, none of
the
songs go nowhere.
You know what I'm saying? Songs are going to road. None of these things there, right?
That was the problem. So the second I seen that, I seen all these artists, I was like, all right, you know, I'm heading in the next direction, yo. It's time for me to do something different.
Yeah.
Because the first two rhythms that I actually did with the producer, they're still sitting in the studio till this day.
Oh, man.
Trust me.
You know what I'm saying?
The song bad, the song bad.
Until this day. So this I had to say, you know what? Enough is enough. I got to do this all by myself. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to put my own rhythm out. I'm going to put my own production on. I'm going to get all these artists on it. And I'm going to feature just a few Jamaican artists just to highlight it. You know what I'm saying?
The majority
of the rhythm was just all about Canadian artists.
That's love. That's love.
You know
that's
what I'm saying?
Love.
And I brought all of them with me, fam. And I taught them exactly what they needed to know, exactly about the freaking business, and exactly how to maneuver themselves in the game. You know what I'm saying?
Facts.
And just last year alone, a lot of people could see the changes in a lot of artists' career.
Facts. Facts.
You know what I'm saying? And they start taking things more seriously. You know, and people will start taking them more seriously now.
Yeah.
You know, so no, just because of what I did, if they walk in a studio, a producer knows not joke anymore. You know what I'm saying? So I set a bar where they gotta stay at, or they are they're gonna make sure they fall off. You know what I'm saying? They're gonna fall off if they don't pass that bar or try to maintain it.
Yo, facts.
You know what I'm saying? And that was my purpose, because a lot of them kept on pretending, like, oh yeah, you know, I'm doing so much. And it's like, weird. I'm still seeing these struggling artists like screaming help. And you're the man on the front line saying, I'm doing so much. Oh, look at me, I'm doing so much. It's only benefiting you. Are you doing so much to help the artists, or you're doing so much to help you?
Yep, you're right about
it. You know, and that's been the problem. A lot of these guys, they're saying, oh, yeah, I'm about helping the artists and unity. And it's like, no, You want everybody to unite to help you.
That's true.
Yeah, that's the whole purpose of your unity. You know, yeah, it's not the fact that you want to see everybody come together, because most of the people even spewing the whole unity, they still got problems with people. So how you talking about unity and you got problems with people?
Definitely right.
You know what I'm saying? Yo. You're born contradiction right there.
Trust me. Trust me. And that's, you know, and that's the worst piece about it, where, you know, that is the... That's the next thing, where the unity piece is this. It needs to happen. It needs to be strong within Toronto when it comes to the dancehall scene and the dancehall fraternity within Toronto.
But it gotta be real. You know what I'm saying? It gotta be real, where people are genuinely seeing people. You know what I'm saying? We're people first before music.
Yeah, man.
You know what I'm saying? If you bypass that, you're gonna have a lot of problems, because you're gonna forget that you're dealing with a human being.
Aye.
You know what I'm saying? And you'll forever encounter problems. And then you're going to look at people like, why are you reacting like that? It's like, it's expected. It's a human you're dealing with.
Yeah, you're definitely right about that. That's exactly why me and Dollars had a conversation the other day on the phone. And I was saying, like, and I got to know a little bit about him better. And he was telling me all the stuff that he does. I'm like, yo, man, you do all these things. We definitely got to connect and kind of like put you in the forefront of things and build some type of, you know what I mean? Build up for that. And what I realized when it comes to dance hall, right? When I used to do before COVID, everything was outside. I used to do parties at Luxie's nightclub, government nightclub before it closed down, a whole bunch of clubs downtown as well that I used to do parties at. So everything was mostly outside. So a lot of dance hall artists or dance hall parties used to happen at banquet halls, mostly banquet halls. Dance hall parties happen at banquet halls, right?
Yeah, man.
So now, one thing I realized when it comes to dancehall artists, that's kind of create a challenge for them. Dancehall artists are never really like on the social media. Dancehall artists are not on the internet. You know what I mean? Dancehall artists is more like outside. So what I feel like when it comes to dancehall artists, I feel like they need to connect more on the internet. Because the internet is global. It's not just Canada. You could connect with Jamaica from Toronto. Yep. You could connect with London, England in Toronto, Australia in Toronto. So I feel like that's what all these artists need to connect more and push themselves a lot more on the internet. What do you guys think about that?
No, it's true. It's true what you're saying.
It's true.
And that is the key, because technology and everything has evolved so much, right? Yeah. Where it makes it so easy to communicate with your fans and see where your music is reaching and where it's reaching on all those things, right?
Yeah.
But in the dancehall community, they're kind of lacking that knowledge.
Yeah,
It's some parts is the fact that they don't have the resource, and some is just want to remain ignorant. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you can tell the younger generation, they're clearly getting it, because you obviously see just like that, they all head in a completely different direction and reach to the top.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Mm. So it's different from even some of the old artists where you see still struggling to get it together and only surviving off like dub plates, because they didn't publish or even royalties. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of old school artists are like that.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And that was like a part of the game that they were missing. And they couldn't pass it down because they were missing it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, a lot of the younger dancehall artists end up missing that part too, because they didn't have nobody to teach it to them. Yeah, Bunty and Beanie know the DJ and know the whole of stage, but they didn't know
the business.
Yeah.
The business is not there. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? What they knew is what they knew, and what they made the money from in that time is what they went with.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? The majority of their like thinking changed over the years as they see that there's nothing they can do. Technology is taking over the world.
Yep, technology.
You know what I'm saying? The fans are not just showing up at just the concert no more. They're more online. You know, you'll have more people watching you on your Instagram page and showing up at your concert.
Yeah, man, they're streaming.
You know what I'm saying? So they start realizing these things, though. So they're changing things over. It's moving at a slow pace, you know what I'm saying? Given the fact that like stuff like Spotify is still not like available in Jamaica and stuff like that, you know? So it's moving at a slow pace, but it eventually get there, you know?
Yeah.
Like, so we're just going to keep educating the artists on a level where they understand what they need to do to move forward.
You're definitely right about that. So in the midst of things, what I'm talking about, the whole internet thing, one thing I noticed, how so influential dancehall is to, like, culture. Because one thing people never really, like, give credit to Jamaicans, because I've been to Jamaica. I love Jamaica. I'm from Haiti myself. I'm from Haiti, right? So I'm from the Caribbean.
We got this
myself,
stuff. I don't right? know.
So I went to Jamaica. Bro, I love Jamaica. Jamaica vibes. Jamaica, like, the island, the weather. It's all love. People just want to vibe out. People just want to chill. You know what I mean?
Haiti's supposed to be one of the greatest country in the world, huh?
I love Jamaica. I would love to live in Jamaica. You know what I mean? So one thing I realized about the whole dancehall scene, what people never give Jamaicans for, Jamaicans invented hip hop. If you think about it, invented hip hop.
Yo, listen,
from Jamaica.
Yo, Busta Rhymes just basically said that. Like, I think it was at the end of 2020, right? He had he had the interview with I believe it was Drink Champs or 88 or 85 show. He basically was letting them know, like, yo, Cool Herc and all the man there, yo, that is.
No, but that's just common sense, man. All of that just starts off one struggle. Everything started off the struggle that Bob Marley started, and everything led from there and kept on advancing after that. You know what I'm saying? And remember, hip hop started off Black Struggle. That's the original movement.
Yeah, man.
From DM Cool Herc.
And that movement was originally started from the Jamaican, Marcus Garvey and people like that.
Yeah, man.
That's the thing. People don't give Jamaicans their credit.
Yo,
people
even
don't give Jamaicans their flowers for that. So I'm going to give Jamaicans while we on the podcast. Jamaicans. You guys got your flowers for inventing hip hop.
But here's the crazy thing too. Yeah. It's like you gotta remember you're from Haiti, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Haiti played a big role in us being free.
They helped Jamaica with their
independence. They helped the whole slaves being. They helped a lot in the slaves being free.
We together, bro. We together.
You gotta remember, without that country, majority of the slaves were still being chained till this day.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So it's that role that Haiti played that they need to understand why they keep them so oppressed.
You know
what I'm saying? They need to understand the people with the most intelligence is the place that they keep the most oppressed. Make it seem like they're not
about
intelligent.
That.
It's where the most intelligent people lies. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
You're
right. You're definitely right about that.
That's why they keep the pressure on Haiti, because they know Haiti get out the box, so I'm in trouble.
It's over.
You have some really intelligent Black people taking on the world, where they not only bilingual.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
That's why I'm able to connect with Dollars the DJ, because, like, yo, I'm Haitian, you Jamaicans, we all came from the same struggle.
Same struggle.
We could relate. We one all fight, Black. Man. It's all about connecting the dot and showcasing each other's talent and putting each other's in a different platform. Because if I'm able to push you out there when it comes to this dance hall, and I'm able to connect you with different platforms on social media and push your music, you never know where this whole music gonna go. But what I wanted to follow up on when it comes to the whole internet thing, right? So what I wanted to say, right?
Yeah.
Have you guys been watching this whole Versus with Versus with on the internet? Have you guys been watching that?
I watched the Verses. Listen. Okay. Let me tell you this right now.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say this. And I know there are a lot of people out there right now that agree with me, but they probably won't say it out loud.
Yeah.
The best Verses to happen in Verses, period, that brought the vibes, that did the thing, was Beanie and Bounty. That verse itself brought the most memes, the most hype, the most
everything. Welcome to the Ain't Up for the Streets podcast. You already know what it is. It's your boy.
After that Verses, everything else after that was boring. Straight up.
You're definitely right about that. Say that again. I want to hear that again. Let me know what you just said. Say it again.
Yo, after the Beanie and Bounty Verses, the dancehall Verses, everything else after that was boring.
Yo, you definitely right about that.
That's the only Verses I watched from the beginning till the end. And I was mad that it ended. You see it.
And that's exactly what I wanted to follow up before I got interrupted.
So now you got to ask yourself this. If they see that they're capable of that.
Mm-hmm.
Why hasn't Jamaica created its own verses?
That's what I'm trying to show you. What I wanted to follow up on, one thing people don't give, right? When it comes to like the whole culture, creation and the vibes and the dances, me, I'm the type of person I give people the credit when it's due. The Jamaicans are good at creating dances. They create dances. They create challenges where people could start dancing and things like that. Mm-hmm. Jamaicans are the first to create dances. And also, Jamaicans are the first ones to create songs that goes viral. When it comes to the verses, they had the most views.
Mm-hmm.
The internet never broke down. Because before, all these Americans' internet was breaking down and it was cutting off. But when it came to Beanie Man and Bounty Killer, no internet interruption. And they had the most views. But they got the most disrespect because there was a magazine that did a cover of the verse.
Yeah, I left them out.
And left them out.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, that's how it's gonna happen. That's how it's gonna happen, man. That's the community. That's a hip hop community, fam. You gotta remember, you're venturing over into a next community. Yeah. Don't feel no ways that they'll leave that.
But that's
their community.
Before we got into that community, what did we say? We said Jamaicans invented hip hop.
Yeah, cool. Jamaica.
So it is, even if it's the next community. Jamaica invented hip hop, so either way, Jamaicans should be at the
But you gotta remember something, that the history's been taught and passed down like that.
They took the history, they took over and watered it down, and to make it seem like
if you really take it in, they make it seem like hip hop literally just started at Dre, Tupac, and Biggie. If you take it in, that's where hip hop started. You know, mm-hmm. they forgot all the movements about them fighting against the cops and the governments and all of these things, fam. They forget all these things. That's why hip hop was.
Yeah, man.
They forget how hip hop was. How DJ Kool Herc started a party and started DJing and started this shit. Like you're trying to
say,
they forgot Beanie Man, Bond and Killer. But Jamaican started hip hop. How could they forgot where this shit started? So that's why I said when it comes to Toronto and Canada, Jamaicans have that influence in Canada. The reason why people start the reason why people in Toronto speak the way they speak is because of Jamaicans.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, but all right, watch it. If you really take it in, man, our culture always gave people the light, right?
Yeah.
Always. Now I'm saying, no matter who it was, take it in. Like, you can have a hip hop artist just go and sing back over a reggae song and bust.
Gone.
He doesn't even need to, he didn't even need to go write his own song. He literally just go take a reggae song,
write it back
just
over,
do a hip hop version, and he's bust.
Gone.
You know what I'm saying? And you see a lot of artists do that. They just rewrite like a reggae song, and that was it, man. And the new generation of hip hop artists been doing a lot of that. They just been sampling the reggae beats, slapping in their songs.
I'm gone.
You know what I'm saying? And if you really take it into some of the biggest hits, it's because they were sampled from reggae, legitimately sampled from reggae.
So why do you feel like reggae artists, dancehall artists, are being overlooked and not getting the right exposure or the right look and when it comes to the music industry?
Lack of understanding.
Dallas, the DJ, and you guys, what's your take on that?
It's like lack of understanding. The hip hop community understand more about how the business side works compared to the reggae community.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So they're able to maneuver like their community much easier and better than us. You know what I'm saying? Because we lack the knowledge and the resource, then it's going to obviously be harder. You know what I'm saying? And it's not like reggae is coming from a mainland or something. It's coming from a little island.
Yeah.
So we got to always remember that. Hip-hop is coming from a main, like, you know what I'm saying? Top country. You know what I'm saying? So
that's about to jump on.
That's the big difference. Right? So even reggae to even keep up in that league, you got to give it a big credit. It's coming from a little island to keep up with, like, a general in countries that has greater reach than Jamaica. Yeah. A little.
Yeah, you read about that. You said it's
I know what it is too as well. Island,
yo. But a lot of these guys migrate to these big countries, America, UK, France, Canada. So, is that his little country anymore? Right now?
Yeah. So there's that piece of, you know, of the influence of, you know, Jamaica, you know, the reggae and dancehall and the thing like that coming from the small, well, come from a little island up to the first world country and things like that. But
yeah,
the first world countries have a master identity. They have this, you have an identity of American Canadian. You have this identity of Western, and dancehall doesn't fit in that identity.
Yeah.
Right. So there is that piece of just, there's a lot of yadis that go to America that lose their yadi side. They assimilate into America.
Yeah, you're right.
If you stand out a little bit different, then you probably get shut down too as well. Now it's becoming more popular now, where it's like, I'm a yard man, yaman. You know what I mean? I'm African. Yeah.
Yep.
You see it? Like, it's getting, now it's like, yeah, represent yourself, right? So the identity is changing.
And it's the focus too, is because the music changed a lot too, and it's been stuck in one speed for too long. That's the reason why, like, people kind of like reggae kind of have a struggle for like a while now.
It's been stuck
in the same pace for like the longest time, you know, and it changed like from early 2000, and it's been stuck in that same pattern for like since then. It hasn't changed since, you know what I'm saying? And ever since Cartel stepped out and did his thing, it's been stuck in that, in that replay phase forever. You know what I'm saying? And that's been killing reggae itself.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Back in early 2000, we had a balance where dancehall was going hand to hand with reggae.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? You had like tons of freaking reggae rhythms that was like crazy. Yep. And I was hearing left, right, and center on the right.
I couldn't keep up.
Exact same with the dancehall. All you hear is dancehall. And once in a while,
you don't hear a lot of reggae.
Yo, just to follow up on what you said, dancehall is stuck on a replay. And I definitely agree with you. When Vibes Cartel got locked up, dancehall really got stuck on a replay.
No creativity was there. You know what I'm saying? He's just there, just trying to survive and make money for his family. So he's not, you know what I'm saying? That free mentality of creation is not really there. You know what I'm saying? So what they were following prior is not the same thing that they're following now. You know? So they're literally leading the business down like a self-destructive path, where everybody's just trying to come up with anything that they feel like that, you know, could work or should work, and there's no discipline to it.
You definitely right about that. And one person I feel like that's been trying to keep dancehall on the limelight and trying to keep pushing dancehall to the mainstream is a PopCon. PopCon linked up with Drake, which is the hottest hip hop artist, and he's from Canada as well. So PopCon been trying to push a dancehall to the forefront. So what's your take on PopCon linking up with Drake and him pushing dancehall to the forefront? What's your take on that?
PopCon been putting in the work. You know, it's been representing for like the dancehall community, and he's been doing his part, but he's just one man.
Yeah,
just one man. We can't expect PopCon to change the whole dancehall community. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, everybody got to do their part in order for this whole thing to work. So at the end of the day, big up PopCon for all the work that he's putting in. You know,
And
hopefully everybody takes in like what he's doing and follow suit, right?
There's one thing I heard from I heard him say in one of his I think it's one of his interviews or so. He was basically saying that, yo, as long as it's about pushing dancehall forward, he's willing to make peace with anybody and anybody, as long as it's pushing dancehall forward. And I rate him for saying that, because
that's love.
No, it's real talk, though.
It's real bigger talk, than him. They shouldn't say it's bigger than him. It's outside of him,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
He's just a little small pebble in dancehall. It's outside of him.
So, you would want your ego to hold the whole community back. Like, yeah, what's it for that mean? You know what I'm saying? And a lot of these guys, it's all about ego. You know what I'm saying? And the next problem that I don't like with dancehall too, like since Cartel came around, the segregation, yo. Mm-hmm. You know, like there are groups before, like, mm-hmm. you know, Mansa Shock, Shocking Vibes, and all those type of things, but it wasn't as segregated like it is. No. You know what I'm saying? Where it's like
rhythm juggling,
gotta take sides and
you know what I'm saying?
It's like it's reached to the point where it's so segregated. Yeah, people over there, so people over there, so people over here, so people
fight each other. Yeah, man, trust me.
Nobody no want to work together. And if this man step over here, so if he try work right, him can't go back over there. So
yeah, man.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
and that's
the
next
big problem that we have in dancehall right now. That segregation that they have going.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? And it's like, and it split the whole all the fan base. So when it should be just lovers of dancehall music. You know, you just have lovers of popcorn, lovers of alkaline.
Gaza and,
you know what I'm saying?
Slip inside like that. It's real
it just divide the whole community up when all of them fall under one umbrella. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, why shouldn't you take in my popcorn song the same way you take in an alkaline song? You know what I'm saying? Why do you got to feel so ignorant in your mind just because you're a popcorn song?
Yeah,
you don't got to, like... Because you're with Vendetta, you don't gotta listen to a popcorn song.
Yo, vibes.
You know?
The thing about that too as well, I think one of the, correct me if I'm wrong too as well, one of the last major rhythm juggles to ever happen like that, where you could have mandem who don't like each other on the rhythm and everybody's just vibing. To me, probably was a Dwali rhythm. That rhythm had everybody on the rhythm. And literally,
yeah, that but remember back in those days, man, they don't care about no,
about them.
None of that, fam. Man, so just vice. You have a good rhythm. That's on mad.
Vibes.
Yeah, my touch is good. No man, no word, we're no in their feelings like that, fam.
None of these things there.
Generation was like, how, oh, no, that man, they on the rhythm. Like,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Look how,
yeah, man, they're busy about that.
And look how big that rhythm got. Look how big that rhythm was.
Exactly.
Indeed. To the point where. I think they did one of the videos them in Brooklyn there with Busta. The rhythm was huge. Easy.
Yeah, it's the same thing with this with the segregation with the selectors and the artists, yo.
True, that too.
Back in the day, like the artists and the selectors used to go hand in hand. You know what I'm saying? Everywhere the selector goes, the artist will be with them. Every song used to have their artists with them. Mm-hmm. You know, where now it's like, yeah, if you pay me some money, if you pay your song, you know, it's like, wait, what? You know what I'm saying? So it's like, it became this weird community where it's
money grab.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, became a bunch of greedy people, you know, exactly. Like it's no unity where people are trying to build something out of it. That's why we can't really say there's dancehall, but there's no dancehall community.
Mm-hmm.
There's dancehall. There's no dancehall.
Right about that.
Just everybody in every direction.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? We have the Vendetta, we have the Gaza, we have the Sparta, then we have this and we have that, we have everybody. There's no community. We just have dancehall.
Yeah. Hey, you're right about that. You guys just have dancehall. One thing that you mentioned earlier, right? You said how the hip hop industry understand more about the music business. Yes. One thing I realized is you could be making music in your bedroom and just release it to DistroKid or whatever, TuneCore. Yeah. But nobody knows about the music business when it comes to registering their songs for for publishing, making sure they get all the right royalties and registering their songs and things like that. Do you feel like that dancehall artists don't care about the actual music business? They care about
A lot of them start their career off didn't. If you ask majority of them, they'll tell you. Straight to your face, all I wanted to do was vice a song.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? They didn't care about nothing else after. They just want to vice a song. They felt the passion for music. They just want to vice a song. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's later on in your career, now, when you realize that there's more to music than just vicing a song. They realize, oh, man, I should be making some money off this.
Yeah.
Then they start looking into different parts and, you know, and that's usually why they get to that point is where the conflicts usually start. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because their lack of knowledge, have people capitalizing on their ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So no, with that, no, they're looking at the people that's capitalizing on their ignorance as, oh, like, you're doing me wrong. But it's like,
you're robbing me and things like that. No, yeah, man, they look at it.
You can't do somebody wrong because you choose not to educate yourself on what you're doing. It's a part of it. You can't go to work if you don't know what the hell you're doing.
Yep.
As you know what I'm saying? It's a part. It's a part of it. That's why when they come up with the stock, I'm like, I just want to sing a song. It's like, that don't give you an excuse to be ignorant to the fact that, okay, so you wanted to do construction. So even though you know that a brick might drop and kill you, you know what I'm saying? You're not going to consider that?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it's a part of it. It's a part of the job. You have to consider everything, every aspect of it. You can't just go in and I'm just going to voice a song.
So do you feel like dancehall artists should definitely tap in? And because one thing I realized when it compared to dancehall artists and compared to hip hop, compared to pop, I find that when it comes to hip hop, most artists usually have a brand. Like they usually have like a brand, like a merch to follow merch up. They start pushing some liquor.
It's all about marketing, right? Because okay, you go, you do your production, you do your distribution.
Yeah.
You go do all your marketing.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Market. It's a step that you see. Obviously, you got to set goals for what you're doing with your music. Most people, I don't know what's been happening, but there haven't been no goals. Like I've been saying, I just want to sing a song.
Mm-hmm.
What was the purpose of you singing that song? Where did you want to go? Where did you see going? What, you know, I don't know. Then get that song.
You gotta have a purpose behind these songs you put in.
Make sure that, exactly.
So most of them, they don't have no vision behind the songs that you're creating, but they expect it to go somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like, if you don't have a vision for your own work, how do you expect it to go somewhere?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So that's why you see a lot of them, they're putting out a lot of work, but you don't see them marketing anything because they have no idea where they want it to actually go.
Exactly.
You heard about that? And just to follow up on that question, I want to follow up a question for Dollars the DJ, because I want people to know where you are since you're in Canada, putting out music, you're trying to connect with your fan base, you're trying to connect with a writer fan base so people could tap into the whole dancehall vibes you got going on. So tell the people what kind of describe the type of music that you make. Like what type of music that you typically create?
Wow. So the style of music I create right now, I would say that, you know, you call it it is dancehall, right? Yeah. But it has that, you know, I've been in Canada for how long right now? So it has that foreign vibe to it basically, right?
Yeah.
You know, the dancer where you could listen and you, when you listen to it, you could understand every word. That type of dancer.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. But to be honest, you know, I would consider myself more of like I could DJ and I do sing J too as well. So I do both. Right. It just really depends on the rhythm for me, man. The rhythm, the rhythm is like, if I get a dark rhythm, I'm more gonna DJ on the rhythm. But if the rhythms I like to go on personally are rhythms that are gonna be played on the radio, mainstream. That I would say that dancehall type, that dancehall pop type mix. So
what,
right?
when you say rhythm, so not a lot of people understand what the word rhythm. What do you mean by that? What does rhythm mean?
A beat. So rhythm. Yeah, man. So
because you guys like Jamaicans like to say rhythm. But not everyone, the mainstream white people, knows what rhythm means. So rhythm means beat. That's what it means.
Yeah. So it's the instrumental that we're gonna use basically. Right?
Okay. Great. So that's what I want you to elaborate on.
Yeah. Man.
And also, what's your creative process like? Like when you start creating music, what is it? What's your process like?
All right. So for me, I like to depending on, I have two different approaches. So I have one approach where, you know, I'm writing and not listening to the beat at all, or not listening to the rhythm at all, right? And that type of writing is more of like a poetry type thing. So I would literally create a melody in my head from there. Once I create that melody,
then I will I'll find the words to that melody, and I'll just do it over and over and over and over again. So once I get that first bar, the hook is done.
Okay.
And I do, and I go for the hook first a lot of times, right?
Okay.
For me, I like to set the melody first before I go into the verses and things like that, right? So that's what I do. But when it comes to the rhythm then now, I will sit there and I'll listen to the rhythm first. Sometimes, yes, the rhythm will come to me, the melody will come to me right away. But even if that comes to me right away, I would sit there and probably make another three other melodies to it before I start actually creating a song, right?
Okay.
And usually that rhythm, I'm listening to that rhythm all the time, morning, noon, and night. I'll create a melody to it, and my woman is right there. I'll be like, yo, woman, hear this melody. You like it? She'll tell me, nah, that sucks. Do it another one. You see it? Okay. So I'll do another one type of thing, right? So that's what I would do. If the melody passes her ear, then it's good
you
to
go. You
feel
like it's a vibe. Okay.
It's good to go. Because for me, I like the direction I want my music and the heights where I want to go. I already do it, but my career, I want to focus more on making music for the woman, then, right? So if my woman saying, yeah, that's going in.
Yeah.
Then it's going in.
Facts. You're definitely right. So that's the reason why I wanted to ask you the question. So I wanted people to know you as an artist and in Canada, that's pushing out the dancehall to the forefront. You're trying to connect with more fans. So I wanted them to know about you and what you do. And I got a next question for Lito Vibes. What I wanted to ask you, right? Buju was like one of the most famous dancehall artists that people was like rooting to come out of jail. They'd be like, yo, when's Buju come out? Free Buju. Like, he was like going viral on the internet. Even DJ Khaled was pushing for him to come out. So what I wanted to ask you, like, what's your relationship with Buju? How has it been? How have you been able to receive him when he got out of jail? Like, what's our relationship?
Yeah, it's my uncle, man. Me and him is pretty close, you know?
Yeah.
Like, when he came out, I couldn't go until, like I was, like, doing a couple things with, like, my kids and stuff, so I couldn't go until, like, I was free up in, like, February.
Yeah.
Like, February 2019 was.
Yeah.
And, like, that's when I went down there. And, you know, I haven't went back since, like, he went there. I never went back to Jamaica for like a good while, man. Actually, I never went back since I left.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So I just, because he kept, he always come to Canada, right? So that was his thing. Canada was like his place.
Yes.
But when I went there now, like, it was a good vibes, man. Good feeling, you know? It's been a long time I haven't seen him, you know what I'm saying? It's my uncle, man.
That's crazy. You know, so. Bruce is your uncle. That's like, yo, that's like Bob Marley right there. That's Bob Marley and that's Buju. Like, that's Beanie Man after. That's Elephant Man after. It's just like,
no, but that's exactly kind of
like iconic dancehall.
Exactly, you know what I'm saying? So
that's to get crazy to- that you that dude's nephew. That's like, it's crazy. I have you on the podcast, so I appreciate you guys coming on. That's I appreciate that.
So to like to be there, like, staying with him and everything, you know, through the whole thing and going on the show with him and everything, his first show, you know what I'm saying? Like, the biggest show.
That was in Barbados, right? What was that?
Nah, the first show was in Kingston, Jamaica, you know what I'm saying? God.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, yeah, man, like, March, that year, man, like, it was insane, man. It was insane. Like, just to witness that and being there, like, right next to him on the stage was incredible. You know what I'm saying? That's like once in a lifetime moment that anybody can experience.
Yo, I wish I got to experience that.
Trust me. And it's like that, like a lot of that moments like changed my life in a lot of ways. You know, like I started thinking differently and seeing things differently, man. Like the moments I get to spend with him still got me thinking the way I'm thinking now, especially when it comes to the music.
You're definitely right. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to hold you guys on for too long, so I got a few more questions for you guys. What I wanted to ask each one of you guys, What's your favorite dancehall artist of all time? Do you guys have like a favorite artist of all time that you look up to, that you admire? Let's start with Lito Vibes. What's your favorite dancehall artist?
Favorite
that you admire?
Like the artist that I really admire still, it would be more like DeMarco.
Mm-hmm. Oh, DeMarco. Okay, great.
DeMarco.
Give me five. Give me five. If you can't give me five, give me at least three. Give me at least three. Let the people know.
DeMarco, Popcorn for sure. You know, Popcorn. Pop. You know what I'm saying? Like, what, Chronics? No, dog. Chronics is representing for the. And Coffee is definitely doing her thing
Coffee. Coffee's putting on dance all enough in the mainstream. She's going hard.
Yeah, and she has a like a crossover too, where she's maintaining the little consciousness mixing with the dancehall thing, right? So she's not going like purely those straight dancehall. It's a mix between, like, you know, it's a nice flavor.
Mm-hmm. Yep, you know? You're definitely right about that. You're definitely right about that. So what about you, Dallas the DJ? Who's your artist, dancehall artist that you really admire?
There's a lot of them, man.
Yeah, give me at least three or five. Your top five.
Top five.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Conscience.
Okay.
DeMarco.
Okay.
Of course, Popcorn's in Dessa.
Okay.
I'm not even going to add Vibes in there because there's no point even, like.
I know. That's why I didn't even add my uncle.
Vibes and Bojo, they're not even, I can't even. You know,
class of your own, bro. So
Vibes, like, Bojo, Beanie, and Bounty. I can't. There's no point in adding them. Those guys are goats. Period. There's no point in even.
Yeah, they created something different. You know, they created a whole.
We can't even talk about them. Like when it comes to top, we can't even. No. Yeah. Them people, you can't even name them and say, oh, that's number one, number two. No. A whole different conversation.
Yeah.
But for real though, it's Conscience, DeMarco, Popcorn. I would say from after that, I would say. Honestly, I like Tyrus Riley.
Tyrus good still. Tyrus is a nice singer still.
Yeah, man. And the next one to me is Munga.
Okay, Munga. Okay, say less.
Can't live for Dexter still. Dexter bad, bro. Can't live for Dexter.
And the reason why I'm not say Dexter too on top of that, you know why I'm not say Dexter.
He did create a class for his own still.
Nah, yeah, man. I'm not say Dexter. Dexter's a whole that you see it. Yeah.
You have artists that could do that still, you know, just direct the music in their direction on a level where it's like they create like their own flavor to the music. You know what I'm saying? Like Dexter Dapp's thing, like everybody knows him. For his type of thing, you know what I'm saying? Awesome. His flavor of music and how he creates it, you know what I'm saying? So that's where his vibration is at. Where some artists is completely different, like Cartel, you know, when it comes to him, it's just like he can just pick up a pencil and just make it lyrical, you know what I'm saying?
Man.
Like,
Yeah, man.
Like every artist has something different, you know what I'm saying? Like,
that's what it is, right? And when it comes to dancehall, there's so much dancehall artists, and there's artists that, you know, I grew up on that are still doing their thing right now, so I can't even leave them out of this talk. You see it? So when you say oh, five, I'm still like, yo, and so let me give it the five. But then, yo, the new artist right now that I would say I'm rating right now, the new artists are they're doing their thing right now, for me is TJ.
Okay, great. So do you have any Canadian dancehall artists that you're rocking with that you currently that you want to collaborate with as well?
Chistan, Chuckstar, Sample, Quefa. You see it.
Okay, yeah, man. Okay. Yo. Okay.
Oh, Skystar.
Skystar.
You see it.
I know about him.
Sniper, Managalis.
Oh, Managalis. Yo, DJ. DJ Managalis.
No. Gal Idiot.
Okay.
Gal Idiot. Yo. Listen. That man, the bud.
You see him too. He has something that he can run with because his style is comedic. You know what I'm saying? So he can literally write rhymes where it could be a hit song and have people like dying of laughter at the same time.
Aye,
You know what I'm saying? Like one of those energy or like
it like definitely twins are twins back in the day.
Yeah, definitely have that.
Hey, say less, say less. I got a couple more questions for you guys before I let you guys go. One thing I wanted to ask you guys, how do you feel like the internet has pretty much affected the whole music industry? Because I feel like when it comes to the dancehall thing, dancehall was more like a outside when it comes to banquet hall, day parties and things like that. How do you feel the internet has affected the music, the dancehall music industry?
For me,
as impacted, yeah.
Like, so the industry itself, I say artists are now are able to reach, they have the world at their fingertips.
Literally. Yeah, facts.
They have the universe at their fingertips.
Yeah.
Basically, right? The younger guys coming up right now, they're, you know, they're learning the SEOs and things like that, and knowing the how TikToks. To actually, exactly, knowing how to actually market themselves properly. So I think that for the community, the internet has actually boosted the community up. Mm-hmm. Where now too as well, where, you know, before you hear the dramas, you hear the things happening, just like the hip hop industry too as well. You hear the stuff happening, you probably get it on Smack DVD or something like that back in the day. But for the dancehall, you know, you probably get it in like a, you know, you probably hear an argument or see a dancehall thing in like a Weddy Weddy Wednesday video and things like that. But now,
you get it.
You're getting it from King Mix Up. You're getting it from, you see,
the Shade Room.
It's everywhere. It's everywhere. It's good and bad. It's everywhere, right?
So it's everywhere.
Yeah, man. So, you know, the internet does this thing. The internet is a positive thing and a negative thing, depending on how you use it. You see it.
Facts, yeah, there's a lot of negative to it still because, right now it's being used in a lot of negative way.
Yeah, man.
You know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, like I said, it's not like you're using it to educate themselves. You would think by now all of the dancehall artists would be educated to the point where they'll be able to manage themselves, right? But that's not the case. Like, they're still lacking knowledge, so it's not like they're using it to the fullest.
Yeah.
Or it should, so it could actually help them. And it's more used now for like popularity and hype. You know what I'm saying? It's like it's not being used, especially in the dancehall community, for the things that it's supposed to. You know what I'm saying? Because you'll have somebody like focus on getting a million streams on YouTube when it's like $600, and then you'll have a hip hop artist pushing Spotify, where you know it's gonna make over $5,000.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that is the difference, right? So you and they'll feel comfortable with just the popularity, right? Where hip hop artist is like, I don't care about the popular. I'll take all the money.
I want to get paid.
Money. You know what I'm saying? When I get all the money, I'll walk out with a big stack on the cars, and then I'll gain the popularity. You know, the reggae artists, they don't think like that. They want the popularity first, even though they don't have nothing, and they will rather stay with the popularity and have nothing. Oh, you know, and that's been a big problem in the community. You know what I'm saying? Wow. That's why you see a lot of them, they'll be saying, like, oh, go check out my music on YouTube, where you barely hear the
Spotify.
Exactly. Where you barely hear the actual hip hop community ever mention YouTube. You know what I'm saying? They mention the platform where they actually get paid from. You know what I'm saying? But the dancer community mentioned the platform they want to be popular on.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So they're not pushing for getting music royalties and payments. They're pushing for popularity.
Popularity. And that's where the
problem is. You know what I'm saying? So that's the reason why when they reach certain peak in their career, they're like, oh my God, I got no money. What am I going to do? And it's like, you didn't think you're going to need money, or you shouldn't focus on that?
You're definitely right about that. So if you could change anything about the industry, what would it be? Anything about the dancehall music industry to Dollaz and Lito Vibes right now, what would it be?
I'm starting to change certain things when it comes to like educating them on, like, you know, how to get their royalties sorted out and publishing and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? And getting them to figure out their goals and what they want in their actual career and what where they want their songs to reach, you know what I'm saying? And not just create things and call it a day, because the problem that they were having too is that they were just creating songs creating clean songs, and they're sending it to the radio and thinking that the radio is supposed to play them, not realizing a clean song and a radio edit song is completely different.
Two different things.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So they were just getting the producer to take the lazy way out and say, all right, let's chop all the words out. And just send it to the radio.
Put the words
and then understand that radio has to follow guidelines. You know what I'm saying? And when they don't hear they play the song, they get at the radio and say, oh my God, the DJ, and I hate the radio. And it's like, what?
Yeah, you're right about that. That's gems right there. Thank you very much for dropping these gems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you have to submit proper music, but that goes with the context of the radio station and the radio station guidelines, right? Yeah. It's not like you could just go into a studio and just make something and just, here you go, play it. Yeah. And if you don't play it, you hate me and you don't like my music. It's like, no, that is not the case. It's like you gotta make music so I can play it on the radio. Radiated music, I'm playing it to the world. Like every age, all babies are listening to this. So guess what? You gotta formulate whatever you're singing so you can sing for every generation, no matter what song.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And that's how the songs get mainstream. That's how the songs blow up. That's how the songs go. Because, those songs are universal songs. Those songs are world songs, right? They break out of the genre of just dancehall into world music.
And the radio edit and the raw songs supposed to be something totally different.
Those breakout,
you know what I'm saying? When you listen to the radio edit song, you're supposed to know that, oh my God, this is just a nice radio edit song. Yep. You're not supposed to be like, oh, I know that he said like F right there. That bitch right there. You know what I'm saying? Like, you already know. Yeah. So that's the reason they don't understand. It's like, obviously, they know exactly what comes next. The people are not fools. And the second you know there's a bleep, they know exactly what's there.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So those things have to be replaced. So if you say F you, that has to be replaced with something. Love you. You know what I'm saying? It has to be replaced with something else. That's just what works.
You guys definitely right about that. And that's the thing. Question. Go ahead. You about to say something, Dallas?
Yeah, I was going to say that's the thing too as well, because, a lot of people look at dancehall as in, it's hard and grimy and too explicit and this and that. They're right, yes. And for dancehall artists, a lot of dancehall artists are scared to come out of that piece and be like, I want to make songs. I want to say, I love you and this and that. I'm not going to sound like the raw dancehall thing. It's going to sound in my head.
It's
just lazy.
They're supposed to make two versions of the song.
Versions of the song.
That's
two
just versions. Your job. You're supposed to make the actual raw version and the radio-hated version. Matter of fact, you're supposed to just make the radio-hated version. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is all backwards music but gotten. Originally, when you go into the studio and make the song, you're supposed to do the radio version song. You know what I'm saying? It's this backwards thing, It's like, what? You're just doing a song to play in the party?
That's basically what it was, though. You know what I'm saying? And that's basically what ended up taking over that raw piece, because, as you said, it was stuck in a loop. It was stuck in a loop. And that loop was rawness. I'm still stuck in
the rawness. The rawness is going to be stopped in this track at some point.
Yep.
What's going to happen to clean song? Nope. It's going to keep going. It's gonna keep going to play in the dance. It's going to play on the radio. It's going to play on the internet. It's going to play on TV.
In stores, in restaurants.
That raw song is going to get stopped at some point, and it's not going to move from there.
Nope.
You definitely
parties.
You put a cap on that song by just doing that. Yep. Right there, you cap that song out. There's no you can do about that. You cap that song the second that you decide that it's just gonna remain raw and that's it.
Yeah, it can't be raw, because if you want as much exposure as you can to connect as much fan base as you want, you definitely gotta
right formula into the songs to go far. And one of the right formulas in the song for the song to go far for a parent to say, like, you know what, let me play it while my daughter's listening to this. I will let her listen to it.
Facts.
For that type of traction, it needs to follow those type of rules.
Facts. And dancehall don't even sell anyways. Dancehall barely streams because they're always giving them out for free. The next thing. You know what I'm saying? Reggae streams, because reggae have a whole different fan base where it's European and Asia. You know what I'm saying? So you have people that actually stream and buy reggae music.
If you're making reggae music,
people will buy and stream reggae music.
So what's the difference between dancehall and reggae then to you?
The difference, it just said it. The rawness.
The rawness. Raw. So dancehall is more raw.
Yeah. All right. Take it in. How many people you see? All right. Different races. How many different races you see still play Bob Marley till this day versus Spice Cartel?
You read about that? Okay, yep. Great.
So on many different age group, you see still play Bob Marley versus Vybz Kartel.
Hold on. Say that. You have to ask that question again. How many age groups are allowed to play Bob Marley versus Vybz Kartel?
Right.
Even that too.
Allowed.
You know what I'm saying? Even though it's an unruly generation, not like they care who if they're gonna be still gonna listen to it.
Yeah, you guys are definitely right. You guys are spending a lot of information to this whole dancehall community. If you guys are listening or watching this podcast, these guys give a lot of information, give a lot of gems. What I wanted to ask you guys, what's next for you guys? Since you guys are really connecting as a duo, you guys want to push this whole dancehall music to the forefront in Canada and to the world. What's next for you guys?
You want to go?
Yeah, got a couple different things running right now. We got every Wednesday, eight to like 10 o'clock, we got this artist thing going on where the artists get to like communicate with each other, freestyle, sing their songs, you know what I'm saying? Like get involved in the community, you know what I'm saying? To showcase their talent to each other and get more comfortable with each other. Same with the producers, mm-hmm. You know? So it's like an open live that we do every Wednesday.
Yeah.
So whoever that's into music and love music can just log in, and, you know, they could tell their piece, their story, their history, and how they can get help or, you know, and so far it's been building, and we got a couple of rhythms coming out, a couple of big collab projects coming up too. That's about to change the face of the city. Just remember I said that on this, about to change the face of the city.
Facts. Yep. Facts. Yep. I'm gonna push that. Yep. Fuck with dollars. We're gonna keep pushing with dancehall to the forefront, to the social media, to the internet. So let's keep doing it. So yep, last questions I wanted to ask you guys before I let you guys go, right? What advice would you guys like to share with your supporters on how to keep going and staying positive? Because right now everybody's going to COVID. People is going crazy right now. Mental health is down. People is going to depression, anxiety. What advice would you like to share with everyone and how to stay positive? Your dancehall supporters, hip hop, whichever, all your supporters. I'd like to share.
All right. So for me, I would say that outside of my dancehall vibes, you know, I'm a social worker basically, right? So I work with the community right now, and one of the things that we do in the community right now is a sense of mindfulness, basically, right? So being able to take control of now, things that are happening to you right now, right? You know, meditate. Take that, right now, yes, you're at home and things like that, but take that time to build and learn something. Don't just sit there. Don't go stagnant on yourself. Learn something, right? Take this time to take care of yourself too as well. So if you weren't a person that was, you know, eating proper and things like that, these are the times to reset the body. These are the times to reset your sleeping habits and things like that. Think positive. Creating, if you haven't done a vision board and things like that before, you think these things are lame and all these.
Yeah, Lito Vybz, catch up on that. What would you like to say?
This is a time for people to free themselves from a system that enslaved them for all this time. You know what I'm saying? This is a moment where you're getting cut loose to actually think for themselves. You know what I'm saying? And a moment to clear their head. Say, instead of like living in fear, it's time to look inwards. You know what I'm saying? Be brave and see that this is a time where humans could use the creativity that we had from the dawning of time to create new lives for ourselves that we always did, no matter where on the planet we've touched. You know what I'm saying? We've been explorers. We touched in many parts that was unknown to us, yet we survived. You know what I'm saying? So this event is nothing new. We've been there. We've done that throughout human history. So our whole purpose is to become stronger and overcome and understand, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And eventually that's going to lead us to be better human beings.
Facts. You definitely right about that. And I, like I said, I appreciate you guys coming on this podcast. Dollars the DJ been really supporting the movement, Up Next the movement. He's been connecting the dot with me, and I appreciate it. I have to get him on the podcast. What I like to do, I'm the type of person, if you support me, I go above and beyond to support you. Whatever you do, I connect. I try to put money in your pocket. I find ways to connect you with whatever I got going on to put money in your pocket to put your platform on a bigger level. Man. That's what I like to do. So yo, that's what we do. So I definitely like to connect with Dallas the DJ, and I like the fact that he shared his spotlight with Lito Vibes as well, because you're a selfless guy. You're a selfless guy. You didn't have to get Lito Vibes on the podcast. You could have just came on here yourself. But you know what? You said, you know what? I need to get this guy on the podcast. Once I get him on, then I get on. So Lito Vibes, make sure you look out for my guy, Dollars the DJ, man.
Out
for my guy.
I want to say something, though. That's what it is right there, man. Like, yo, I am a self, like, let's say selfless, but guy. I like to... When it comes to dancehall, when it comes to community, there's us. It's not a me thing. There's not an I thing. There's a we thing. Right? So when it comes to that, like for me, I just want to get dancehall on. As I said before, like to me, some people don't even have to play my songs or play my music. I don't care. As long as they're playing dancehall and it's Toronto dancehall, I'm good with that.
Facts. But you know what? Since you rocking with me, I want them to play Dallas the DJ. I don't know none of these other guys. I want them to play Dallas the DJ. Six Buzz, Real Toronto News, Toronto Rappers, all those guys that I rock with. I want them to post you. I don't want them to post nobody else. These guys are supporting me, but I want them to support you. So before I let you guys know, go. Let them know where they could contact you, where they could find you, your music, your Spotify. So I'm going to start with Dollars the DJ. Let them know where they could find you.
Yo, so as I said before, you know, if you right now internet age, so everybody knows Google. You see it. So if you Google Dollars the DJ, everything will pop up from all major streaming sites, from the Spotify to Tidal to Amazon, like TikTok, everything. Right.
Yeah.
And if you want to find me on Instagram, it's basically Dollars Music. So DollazMuzik. You see it? Dollars Music. You see what I say? So again, Google it. I'm there. Every major.
Say less. Lito Vibes. Where they can find you? Let them know where they can find you to connect with you and network with you.
They can find me everywhere. I'm on your local radio station. I'm everywhere. I'm on Instagram at DJ Lito Vibes. I'm on Twitter at DJ Lito Vibes. Facebook at DJ Lito Vibes. You know what I'm saying? You can visit my website, www.letovibes.com. You know what I'm saying? I have different content on there, music, video, all different type of Spotify music. You know what I'm saying? Different links. Closing is coming soon. So, you know what I'm saying? Stay in touch.
Yeah. Definitely. I appreciate you guys coming through. I appreciate Dollars the DJ for connecting the dot with Lito Vibes. We're going to keep pushing. We're going to keep connecting the dots and pushing dancehall to the forefront. Like I said, dancehall needs to be in the front. It needs to be dancehall than hip hop. You know what I mean? I give people their props. I give people their credit. Jamaicans influenced Toronto. If it wasn't for Jamaicans, Toronto wouldn't be cool. Toronto would be like Montreal or fucking Vancouver or some shit. You know what I mean? Because the Jamaicans, Toronto is cool. So shout out to all the Jamaicans that's going to listen to this podcast, that's watching this podcast, man. You already know what it is, man. Holla at your boy. Have a good night, all right?
You all too.
Right. Blessings.
Later, bro. All
right.
Later.
Ain't enough for the streets.
Ain't off for the streets. We live. Dollars the DJ.